Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. This is God's Word. Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he, his wife, and all he had, and Lot with him. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. He went by stages from the Negev to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had formerly been, to the site where he had built the altar. And Abram called on the name of the Lord there. Now Lot, who was traveling with Abram, also had flocks, herds, and tents. But the land was unable to support them as long as they stayed together, for they had so many possessions that they could not stay together. And there was quarreling between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let's not have quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, since we are relatives. Isn't the whole land before you? Separate from me. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." Lot looked out and saw that the entire plain of the Jordan, as far as Zoar, was well watered everywhere like the Lord's garden and the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose the entire plain of the Jordan for himself. Then Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated from each other. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, but Lot lived in the cities on the plain and set up his tent near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were evil, sinning immensely against the Lord. After Lot had separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, "Look from the place where you are. Look north and south, east and west, for I will give you and your offspring forever, all the land that you see. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust of the earth, then your offspring could be counted. Get up and walk around the land, through its length and width, for I will give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and went to live near the oaks of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is a snapshot from the story of God's dealings with two men and their offspring. God had called Abram to go to a place that the Lord would show him. Abram left not knowing where he was going. He just knew he was to go where the Lord directed him. Lot came along. Lot was the nephew, and Abram graciously took him in. Abram didn't have children. His wife was barren. And so Lot got treated a lot like a son, even though he was a nephew. And they went down to Egypt together, and we had that sad story about Abram's misconduct while there and saw the Lord's faithfulness to him in spite of that. Now, the Lord has blessed them so much that there's not room for all the blessings. They've been given so much by the Lord that they're getting in each other's way. Because it wasn't just the two of them that were starting to have some friction. It was their herdsmen. And so their herdsmen, of course, come to them and say, his herdsmen, blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like herding cats, isn't it? You've got these folks and they're complaining and you want to hear their concerns and you want to be sensitive to their needs, and at the same time, you got to balance this. And Abram looked at the situation and he said, you know, the best thing for us is to split up. Now, folks, this wasn't a marriage. This is not saying that when your marriage is difficult, you can just walk away. But there are times when a working relationship comes to the point that it's time to separate. We saw an unhappy example of that in the book of Acts when Paul and Barnabas came to the point of splitting up over what to do about Mark. Mark was another nephew. Like Lot was Abram's nephew. Mark quit on them and left. Paul held it against him. So when Barnabas wanted to reintroduce him to the ministry team for another missions trip, the Apostle Paul said, no, we're not having that quitter. Their disagreement became so sharp that they split up. They went in two different directions. Well, Abram is trying to keep that from happening here. He says, let's don't have a sharp disagreement. Let's don't have unpleasantness. Let's don't have quarreling between us. Let's just go in two different directions. And Lot, I tell you what, I'm going to let you have first choice. I'm going to let you choose. How gracious is that? He could have said, you might want to think about going back to Egypt. Okay? But instead, he said, you look and you choose, and whatever you choose, I'll take the other part. I'll take the leftovers. Is that nice? If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You choose. And so Lot said, oh, Uncle Abe, you know, I mean, you're too kind. I'd rather that you choose, and I'll take the other part. Is that what he did? No. He said, okay, we'll settle this. Since he's been so kind to me, that looks like the best area over there. I'm going to leave that for him, and I'll take this part over here that doesn't look as good. Is that what he did? No. He said, clearly that is the better spot. All right? Clearly that area, that huge area, that's the place to be. So I'll take all that, okay? And Abram said, okay, you can have it. And Lot trots off to Sodom, thinking that he has made a very wise choice. I can just picture him telling his wife, okay? I mean, baby, look at this. This is all ours now. We get the grass. He's got to go try and feed those animals of his up there where there's no grass growing. Good luck. Now, the New Testament describes Lot as being a righteous man who was grieved day after day by the wickedness in Sodom. I'm glad we have that commentary from God's inspired word, but you get no hint of that in Genesis. Okay? That is something that God graciously reveals to us in the New Testament. But in Genesis, Lot comes across to me anyway as being a jerk. Okay? I mean, like a relative of somebody who would try and pass his wife off as his sister so that she ends up in a harem and he gets to stay alive. I mean, you know, that's the kind of detail we see in the Old Testament where you realize God is being amazingly gracious and counting people as righteous based on grace and not just on their works. Because all these people have got conspicuous flaws. And God, in his mercy, is able to make the unrighteous righteous. Thank God, because that's the only hope we've got. So, in this passage, Lot is given the choice and he chooses what looks good to him. There is no mention of his praying. Instead, it describes very clearly, verse 10, Lot looked out and saw that the entire plain of the Jordan, as far as Zoar, was well watered everywhere, like the Lord's garden in the land of Egypt. So Lot, verse 11, chose the entire plain, didn't take part of it. He didn't say, well, I'll take the distant part there and you can stay closer. He chose the entire plain of the Jordan for himself. Choosing what looks good is not always wise. Some years ago, I met a couple, and my first thought was, how in the world did he get her? Okay? Because he looked, he wasn't ugly, but he wasn't a trophy. Okay? And she was like, wow. I mean, she looked like she was what people imagine would be beautiful, and it all seemed to be natural. Amazing. And I'm thinking, how did he get her? How did that happen? All I will say is that as I got to know them over time, it turned out that the question was, how did she get him? Oh yeah, look at her. Okay? He had chosen based on looks, not based on intelligence, not based on godliness, not based on sanity. Okay? And she turned out to be a very troubled person with a lot of serious problems that he had completely overlooked because he was so taken with her looks. Don't just go by looks. You know what happens to looks? Gravity wins. Okay? High cheekbones become jowls. Okay? They just slide down your face over the decades. And it's amazing how this chin moves down here and you grow another one here. Gravity wins. And so if what you are in love with is something that's going to go away, you're making a big mistake if that's the basis of your relationship. And it isn't just guys who objectify women. I mean, guys do have a tendency to do that, but it turns out a lot of women do too. A lot of women think, oh, he is such a hunk. Gravity wins. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to say this again. If you choose based on how things look, that is not necessarily a good choice. And it's not just in marriage. It's true of jobs. I think, let's just say almost every job I ever took in my journey through ministry, I took a pay cut, okay? Over and over again. I'd be at this level and God would say, this is what I want you to do. And I'd think, ooh, okay, here we go. And we would step down onto the up escalator, okay? And we would end up better off than we ever would have been if we'd stayed here. But we didn't know that at the time, just God did. Because sometimes we stepped into situations that looked like not just a down escalator, but an elevator shaft. Okay? It was like, this is going to be rugged. This is scary. But we did what God told us to do, and lo and behold, God is a better planner than I am. You might want to make notes of that too, because it's true for you. God is a better planner than you are. Okay? You think, well, you know, I can see that's all green. That's not. I want this. Yeah, but see, you haven't checked the weather forecast, because it's going to be raining fire and brimstone. And that's bad for crops and for human life. And you're going to have to leave your belongings and flee for the mountains and end up living in a cave. Lot couldn't see that. He couldn't tell what was coming. He just saw what appealed to his flesh, and he said, that's what I'll take. Don't be like Lot. You understand? You don't want to be like that. How much better to be like Abram, who says, I'm going to let you choose, and I'll take what's left. That is unselfish, and it's wise. Because his trust was not in his eyes, it was in his God. He was counting on the God who said, leave here and go to a place you can't see. Go to a place you've never been. Trust me, I have a plan for you. And when he obeyed, it turned out that after a long wait, God's plan was excellent. But it was a long wait. It was a long wait. God had said, I'm going to give you this land, and it's going to belong to your descendants. And he didn't have any descendants, and he was getting too old to have descendants. Or so it seemed. But that's only if you leave God out of the equation. Don't leave God out of the equation. Say, that's a math thing for older students. I've heard them talking about equations. Yeah, well, let me explain what an equation is. 2 plus x equals 4. That's an equation. That's a simple equation. What is x? You're giving me the peace sign. Yes, it's 2. Okay? It's 2. But here's the thing. Let's suppose you've got a little shepherd boy and a giant, murderous soldier. And they're about to engage in battle. Who's going to win? Well, it depends on whether or not God's in the equation. Because if it's a shepherd boy plus God against a gigantic killing machine, shepherd boy's on the winning team. Why? Because God is part of the equation. Okay? You've got an army chasing you, and you come to the edge of the Red Sea. They want to enslave you. The sea waits to drown you. What's going to happen to you? Well, either way, it's going to be bad. Well, that's if you don't include God in the equation. But if God is the one who brought you to that point and said, I'm going to lead you to victory, you're on the winning side. Don't leave God out of the equation. You've got 5,000 men plus women and children who need some food. And the only food you've got is a little boy's lunch, 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. That won't be enough unless you put God into the equation. If God's in the equation, then all of a sudden, that's plenty. And you're going to have more left over than you did when you started. Because God is the one who makes all the difference. Lot looked and he saw green pastures. He didn't pray about it. He just went by what he saw. Abram was learning to live not on the basis of what he could see, but on the basis of worshiping God. And so what is recorded about him is that when Lot went off this way toward Sodom, Abram met with God. And God said, look, north, south, east, and west. It's all going to be yours. It's all going to be yours. He didn't say, well, you've given up what's to the east, so look to the north, look to the south, look to the west, that's what you got left. God says, no, it's all yours, buddy, because you're my choice. Lot chose that land, but I chose you. And I've got a plan for you, and it's going to be good. Please understand that. It is most important that you trust in him and realize God is the one who is making good choices on your behalf. And if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, it's because he chose you. He chose you. And he has a plan for you. And it's a good plan. It's a really good plan. Didn't say it was going to be easy. Didn't say it would always be fun. But it will be good. Guaranteed by God. That's his word, not just my opinion. God's will for your life, Romans 12, is good and acceptable and perfect. You can't get better than perfect. Okay? So trust him. And so what do we see? After Lot had separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, look from the place where you are. Look north and south, east and west, for I will give you and your offspring forever all the land that you see. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust of the earth, then your offspring could be counted. Get up and walk around the land through its length and width, for I will give it to you. I will never forget when God brought us here and we got to walk around this land and imagine how wonderful it would be if the group that owned it chose us. They did. And a multi-million dollar piece of property was given debt-free for God's purposes. That was God's doing. That isn't something I made happen. That was God's doing. Let me tell you something. God told Abram, I'm going to do this. God keeps his promises. He does what he says. And so Abram moved his tent and went to live near the oaks of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. What does that mean? It means he erected something that was for the purpose of worship. It wasn't a multi-purpose structure. We're going to use it as a picnic table and this and this and also as an altar. Wherever Abram was, he wanted to worship the Lord. There is nothing you will do today that is more important than worshiping the Lord. The most important thing you do any given day is worship. Not just reading your Bible, but worship. That means the way you approach him and offer him your life. Again, to go to Romans 12, I plead with you, in light of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is what intelligent worship is. This is your reasonable service, it says in the King James. That means this is what real intelligent worship looks like, is you saying, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'll do what you want. I'll go where you send. I'll say what you tell me. I'm yours. It's the most important thing you'll do today. Be sure you do it.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.